My brother and I used to fight all the time. He would hit me really hard, and I would hit him really hard. We survived, but as much as we fought, if anybody else threatened or attacked or called my brother names or anybody in my family, then as a family we would come together and we would resist, we would be angry, we would fight back against anybody who attacked any of us. We were allowed to hit each other and fight inside our little circle, but woe betide anybody else who tried to attack that. There was a point in, or different points actually, during the reaction to the first months of the pandemic where we were all encouraged to think about bubbles. We were encouraged to kind of draw a circle around maybe our household or our family or the people we lived with, and to keep that safe, to protect that. And then as things relaxed, we could maybe extend that bubble or join our bubble with another bubble. But the idea was to resist an enemy, actually a common enemy. And in a weird way, it brought us as little circles kind of together, that we were fighting against one common enemy. But in other ways, it kept us apart. I find it's really easy to draw circles around myself or ourselves. It's easy to put other people actually in bubbles to keep them out of mine. It helps me distinguish myself or a group of people from others. What can burst those kinds of bubbles or rub out those kinds of circles is some sort of common threat or enemy. So, for example, I might have drawn circles based on, I don't know, preferences. Like, are you a fan of this team? Or are you a cat person or a dog person? I might draw a circle around people who look like me or my family and their extended members of my family. I might draw bigger circles around people who vote a certain way or around a country or a nation. But then, as we've seen, faced by a common threat, those circles either get bigger or they get rubbed out. The bubbles start to burst. The global pandemic is a global pandemic. Suddenly, we're all brothers and sisters facing that. The climate crisis increasing, threatening, becoming more and more vivid and real and a threat to not just some of us, but all of us. These are things that burst our bubbles and rub out our circles. In these scriptures, a young Jewish teacher called Jesus of Nazareth causes a fuss. He bursts a lot of people's bubbles in a country called Israel in the ancient Near East. And in particular, at the start of his story, up in the north of the country, he starts to draw crowds because of positive things he does, like healing people and feeding them and crying out that he's bringing or announcing good news to the poor, and also because he's saying things that are confusing people, stimulating people, challenging people, comforting people. In a story we call Luke, we get a collection of the kinds of things he starts or he's constantly teaching. And this starts around chapter 5 and chapter 6. We looked at the first sort of things that are collected for what he said last week, and he announced them as blessings and woes, and they challenged a lot of the things that people were expecting. Next, he talks about a word, an idea, a way that is actually at the heart, I would argue, of everything that he is about, and actually at the heart of everything in this God story. What Jesus talks about is love. Now, you would be hard pushed to find anyone who thinks that love is not a good thing or that it's not important. Everyone seems to love love. But what kind of love does this Jesus of Nazareth talk about? Well, he kicks off at this point by actually giving a command. He's not talking in a general way about love. He's telling his particular followers, this is what you have to do. You have to love. And he says, love your enemies. He says, do good to those who hate you. He says, bless those who curse you. He says, pray for those who mistreat you. hang on a minute. This is upside down. This is not the way of the culture around at the time in the Greek and Roman Empire. It's not what we're faced with as we are drawing our circles and creating our bubbles about the people who are like us. This is so often the case in the Jesus story. Jesus expands. He says, loving the people who love you, that's easy. Everyone does that. Instead, this way, his God's way, is to go way beyond that. To go the extra mile. And literally, in some cases, he's talking about it. He's talking to a group of people. He's actually talking to 12 young men who are going to build this movement on. But also there are crowds listening as well. And he's not just saying some sort of proverb about what to do in a particular situation when somebody hates you or somebody does that. He's talking about what it's going to be like for all those who follow this way. There will be, he knows, and he teaches them, pushback. He's already got enemies who are worried about what he's saying and what he's doing because it threatens their business. It threatens their bubbles. And so all of his followers will have enemies. They will be hated by some, by cursed by some, mistreated by some. In this case, they'll be slapped on the cheek like a master slaps a slave. They'll have occupying soldiers mistreating them, forcing them to do things, taking their clothes, exploiting them. And how are they to respond? Well, this is absurd. They're to respond with love. But notice not with the cuddly feeling of love, but love the action. Notice how many verbs are in this. What are Jesus' followers to do? They are to do good, to bless, to pray for, to offer the other cheek, to not withhold the other piece of clothing, to lend. Now, before we get carried away, let's remember again who is speaking and when and where. Jesus is a Jewish teacher in the ancient Near East, in an occupied country, living in the face of the Roman Empire, and teachers like him, Jewish teachers and Jewish teachings, were often famous for extreme statements to make a point. Jesus isn't setting out a detailed economic argument for how to deal with exploitation and crime. If he was, the world would be left with just two groups of people, those who are exploited and left poor with nothing, and those who are the criminals who can just get away with doing anything they want and taking what they like. That's not Jesus' point. If you look at this whole set of stories about God and his creation project, there's plenty in there about justice, about restoration, about compensation, about putting things to rights. And actually, some of the things Jesus suggests are really subversive ways of resisting the culture of selfishness of the time and not being tempted to fall into the same kind of myth that violence can sort everything out and that you have to build your own empire to get rid of the current empire. Instead, here's another way about love. Love in action, a love that gives itself away. Like lots of Jewish teachers, I think Jesus is using these extremes to burst some bubbles, to get a reaction and to point out that his followers are going to be different, distinct. And that's one of the senses of a word that's in these stories, the word holy. It doesn't mean special, it doesn't mean more religious or better behaved. It means different, distinct, set apart. This Jesus movement, like the whole Jewish story, is about being distinct, about being different from the empire, from the distractions, from the destructive ways around. At one point, Jesus will talk about what will make his followers stand out, and he'll say will it be their clothes? Will it be their badges? Will it be a uniform? Will it be the way they speak? Will it be the kind of empire they build? Will it be the circles they draw around themselves? No. He says, my followers will be known for their love. And what kind of love? A lovely, nice feeling? No, a glorious, uproarious, absurd, over-generous love. Love that doesn't make sense. Love that doesn't measure. Love that isn't interested in balancing the scales or debit and credit. Love that loves even enemies and does good to those who attack. Why teach something so strange, so new? Well, the first thing that I think Jesus would say is that that isn't new. And like anything that's really true, of course it isn't new. This has been baked into this creation story from day one. It's part of what it means to be created. It's part of what it means to be human. This has always been part of the God story, the Jewish story, and it's on every page, every chapter of this collection of books that reveal that. Work your way through it, and you'll find time and time again, at the heart is love. Love in action, loving God, loving the other, loving your neighbor, baked in right from the start of the Torah all the way through the story of God and his people. There's nothing new in this, but it's so often forgotten. But beyond that, why? Why would anyone live this out? Well, it's not for reward. Although Jesus does talk about a reward, but the reward he talks about is not the prize for winning. It is the reward of being who you were made to be, of being part of what God is doing, simply taking part in something you were always made to take part in. The potential of a creation project put back on track for everyone to thrive and enjoy. Jesus will call that project the kingdom. And we'll get to that. Jesus gives his followers the why, as he says that this is first because of who they are. They are God's children, God's creations. And so the circle, the bubble, is far bigger than anyone thought. But more than that, the second reason is because who God is. This God is merciful. This God is kind to all, including the ungrateful, the wicked, those who would resist. God is love. God is mercy. The motivation is who God is. A creator God who makes the sun to shine on the wicked and the wonderful alike. Of course, this doesn't make any sense. Of course, this doesn't add up. And thank goodness it doesn't. People don't get what they deserve in this story. They get so much more. This is a story of God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And so often, every single one of us gets so much more than we deserve. And so Jesus' teaching is not so much about what to do, although it's pretty simple with the what to do's in there. Love all kinds of people. Do good to all kinds of people, bless all kinds of people, pray for all kinds of people. No one is going to give you into trouble for doing too much of any of this. But this teaching is as much about who Jesus is, about who God is, about who we were made to be and what we do about that and then when he bursts all our bubbles. I said that Jesus' words bring comfort, but they also bring challenge. A comfort might be, well, we can never make a mistake of loving too much or of loving the wrong kind of people. A challenge might be, well, what are we known for? Are we known for loving just those inside our bubbles? Or are we known for loving all God's children, even our enemies?